In this movie, Lion King, I was going to say, if you want to stand right there, it's fine. I'll go about the same size. I don't have to look as far up at you. In the movie Lion King last night, there's a place in the movie where the young lion, tell me his name again.
Simba.
Simba comes and looks in the water and sees first himself, but then he sees his father. Read what it said when he came to that. Just that.
Mufasa said, "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become."
Okay, now listen carefully. Look inside yourself. You are what?
More than what you have become.
You are more than what you have become. Now, I want to say this to you because everybody wants to say it's hard to look inside yourself, but I want to try to just give you a little perspective this morning that will help you with this story. And when he looked and he saw his father. Y'all have heard me say for months, years, every day I live, I look more like my daddy. I'm telling you, you know, daddy's 91, and every week I try to go to relieve my sister with a night or two to stay all night with him and be with him because we're with him 24/7. And the other day I was down there again, and I get up and I come in the morning to give him his morning medicine, and he and I are standing there, and we look over at the mirror, and both of us wear these white V-neck T-shirts. You understand? I got a V-neck T-shirt just like Daddy, and we're standing there in the mirror, and he looks up there, and he goes, "I used to look like you." And I said, "Well, I'm glad I still look like you." And I do. And I look more like him today than I ever have. Okay? Now, think about that and think about this story and then listen to what I'm about to say. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. Here's what I want to illustrate, and I'm going to preach on this, but I want you to see this. So, if I said this was an envelope that is you, and I looked at you and I said that this is an envelope that is Christ. When you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born again. And Christ came to live on the inside of you. He now has taken up his residence on the inside of you. And the verse of scripture that says, "Christ in you is the hope of glory. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea." And it's going to, the glory of the Lord is in us. So when I'm talking about, and when I hear, like in this movie, you look inside of yourself, I'm not looking and wanting you to look inside of yourself to see who you are in your flesh, in your natural man. People get born again and Christ comes and lives in their heart and they're still housed in a flesh and blood body. The other issue that I want you to get, and I'm going to illustrate this again in another way because this movie and the timing of this is critical. I believe that the Lord's trying to say something to us, is that not only is Christ in you, but you are also in Christ Jesus. You understand that? You're in Christ, and Christ is in you. And I'm going to read some scriptures this morning. We're going to talk about how that you are in Christ, but how Christ is in you. And as you grow and mature and begin to develop, he gave apostles, prophets, Ephesians 4 says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping, the perfecting, the maturing of the saints till they come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, according to Ephesians 4, according to Romans 8 says that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. When I came to Greenbrier County 40 years ago, this past August, the message that I was bringing at that time that was the number one, I'd been a state evangelist in the church and went to churches across the state, and every church I went to, one of the things that I preached was, if you get on a train that's destination is St. Louis, but you believe that you're getting on a train that's going to Washington, D.C., if that train's destination is St. Louis, where are you going to end up? It doesn't matter that you believe you're going to Washington. If that train's destination is St. Louis, you're going to end up at St. Louis. Listen to me. When you accepted Christ and Christ came into your heart and you were born again, all of the Old Testament saints were saved by accepting Christ when he went to the center of the earth and preached to them. By faith, Abraham was saved. They were saved, but they weren't born again. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and began to dwell inside of us, the third person of the Godhead took up residence inside of us. Now Christ lives in us. But we're growing and maturing till we become just like Christ. Are you with me? So Ephesians says you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's where everything's going. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. You're on that train if you accepted Christ. You can believe it's all about heaven if you want to. You can believe it's about heaven. Heaven's for dead people. If you read the rest of your Bible, you're going to find out there's a new heaven and a new earth. And what happens, and what is Jesus planning on doing when we talk about the second coming of Jesus? Where's he coming to? Huh? He's coming back to earth. I mean, it's all in the Bible if people would just read it. But we listen to preachers and we listen to escape mentality and we listen to people talking about, well, I got it bad, it's tough. And I'll be the first to admit it's bad, it's tough. There are times I wish I couldn't have the problems, didn't have to deal with struggles and battles. I wish that. I wasn't excited yesterday about doing the funeral of a 30-year-old. That was not something that was exciting to me to do. But I knew that I had to love and minister to someone and an opportunity to share the love of Christ with everybody there. And I did the best I could do. It's not easy doing those things. But we have to understand who we are. Everybody okay? Are you all right? Where's Christ? And where are you? Yeah. He's in me, in us, and we're in him. Let me read you some verses. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. I want to illustrate this again in a moment. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. It says, beware, everybody say beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everybody say bodily. And listen at this. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now watch this. In him, in Christ, those of us who are in Christ, who've been born again, he's come to live inside of us, we are in him. In him, we have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all. Y'all know how many that is, don't you? Huh? You ain't got any that he don't know, and it's not included in all. Having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwritten requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Listen, he didn't just go to the cross for you. He went to the cross as you. You and I today, walking around here in human bodies with flesh and blood, went to the cross with him, went to the tomb with him, were resurrected with him, and we are alive today with Christ. You understand that? Now, hear me. I'm just reading you the Bible. I'm not preaching you my theology. I'm not giving you some theory. I'm saying the Bible says he took our sins to the cross. He didn't just die for me. He died as me. Somebody looks at me and says, you still got some stuff in your life. Yeah, been nailed to the cross, though. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now watch. Having, verse 15, took him to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So, since he's done this, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let me explain it to you like this. Do you realize if I stand up here, there's a shadow of me that's behind me? Do you realize these lights create a shadow? And you can look at the shadow, and the shadow is a representation of me, but the shadow is not me. It moves when I move, it does what I do, but the shadow is not me. Okay? So when we understand what he's talking about here, shadow is there's things that's coming, that, but the substance is of Christ. We have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. So, verse 18. I did have that on there, right? Oh, no, I'm quitting at 17. That's another message. All right. Now, listen carefully to what I got to say this morning. When we talk about a Christian's position, we are referring to the way that God sees us. I want this perfectly clear this morning. I want you to understand, I'm not trying to get you to see it my way. I'm trying for all of us to see us as God sees us. I want me to see me the way God sees me, not the way I see me, because, you know, I see some things wrong with me, don't you? See, some of you are shaking your heads. You see things wrong with me. I see that. Okay. I see things wrong with me. We all see things wrong with us. But how does God see us? Don't you think we ought to view ourselves how God sees us and not how man sees us? I want to know what God thinks. God's the one I'm trying to please. Now listen to me when I say this. We are now, today, at this very moment, identified with Christ. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Now listen to me. God doesn't see you the same way he saw you before his Spirit came and took up residence on the inside of you. When you invited Jesus Christ into your life, God begins to see you through a different set of eyes. Now, again, I want to say it to you. Do y'all understand? I'm not trying to give you a theory that I have. I'm not trying to preach you a doctrine today. I'm not trying to tell you that this is how things could be. I'm not trying to tell you this is how things ought to be. What I am declaring to you by the word of the Lord and what I just read to you from God's word is, when you accept Christ, your new position in Christ is a very present reality. At this moment, you and I have Christ in us, and we are in Christ. It is a reality this very moment. It's not a theory. You're on the train to be conformed to the image of Christ, whether you like it or not or believe it or not, that you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what we're on. Now, watch this. Colossians 2. Verse 9, look at this. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. Since all of him dwells in you, all of Jesus is in you, you are complete in him. Let me kind of say it to you like this. When a man and woman get married, and the man and the woman conceive a child, and the child inside the woman begins to grow and to develop and mature, there comes a point in that pregnancy where the child on the inside is complete. Are you hearing me? It's complete. And the child is in the mom. Life came from the dad. The blood came from the father. But the child is complete inside the mother. But the child complete in the mother, the child's going to be born, okay? And that child that's complete will have a life of its own. And as that child begins to grow and develop and mature and get raised, you will find that that child has characteristics of mother and dad. Just like I said a while ago, I can look in the mirror today. When I was 13 years old, I couldn't see my daddy in me. I was still learning things. I hear things come out of my mouth that I heard my mother say, that when she said it to me, I swore I would never say it to anybody on the planet. And I look at my kids. My mother used to pout a little. My brother used to pout a little. I didn't think I'd ever pout. One day I'm pouting. I'm walking and pouting. Somebody says something to me and I want to look at him and say, "Leave me alone, I'm trying to be like my mommy." And at that moment I recognized I'm behaving in a way that I didn't work on, plan on, do. But you know what? Certain traits got instilled in me. Church, until the church wakes up and realizes that Christ is in you, and I was raised in mom and dad's home, so I learned principles and values because I was there, and you learn principles and values because you're in Christ that just develop with you as you go. Now, I'm saying all that because here's what I really believe that the Lord has spoken to me and said to me today. Last night, the film showed, and we saw that. Lynn Hiles preached a message on that how many years ago? How long has that movie been out? You have any idea? Huh? 25 years? So Lynn Hiles, between 20 and 25 years ago, was here and preached a message on the Lion King. Okay, he preached a message here on the Lion King, and he talked about exactly what I'm talking to you about. I mean, it was something that was there, and he preached it, and I'm saying that because I'm telling you that today the Lord has spoken and assured me that some of you need to look at yourself a little deeper than you're looking and quit seeing you. It's time for you to see Christ in you and you in Christ. I said to my daddy yesterday, "I wish you was here to help me at this funeral." He said, "Son, you got as much experience as I have now, and you can do everything I can do and better." He just started encouraging me. Do you know how many times I go to God and I say, "God, I need you," and he starts encouraging me and saying, "If you'll just do what I'm asking you to do and be obedient to what I'm telling you to do and do what you know to do, I'm going to work with you." And I'm convinced today, yes. And I'm convinced today that it's time that some of you start seeing that God is alive in you. You are in him, he's in you. Now, Colossians 1, I read you 9 and 10. Go down to verse 27. Colossians 1, 27. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Listen to me. 9 and 10, he says, "You are complete in him." And then he comes on and he wants to make, it's a mystery. See, I can't look at you in the natural and see Christ always. But if I'm looking for Christ, we're not supposed to judge anyone after the flesh any longer. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to look at one another and look for Christ and encourage Christ in one another. We ought to be encouraging each other and edifying each other and building up each other. See, not only does Christ live in you, here's what Colossians says. The fullness of God lives in you because Christ is the fullness of God. And he lives on the inside of you. Now, let me ask you this question. If what I'm saying is true and Christ lives in you and the fullness of God lives in you, What else do you need to be victorious? What else do you need? The answer to that is nothing. But if you don't believe He lives in you, and you don't believe that the fullness of God is on the inside of you, you've got to start realizing that's why we have classes, that's why we preach the Word, that's why we teach the Word, because I know that if you come to a house, listen, oh man, if you're being taught that you're just a sinner saved by grace, you're not hearing the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't say you're a sinner. The Word of God says you're a saint. And the reason you're a saint is because Christ lives inside of you. The books of the Bible that was written to the churches in the early church, to Corinth and to Galatia and to Colossae and Philippi, all of those churches was written to saints. We've got to see ourselves as saints, not as sinners. Colossians 2, verse 10. Look at it. Colossians 2, verse 10. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. It goes on to explain right here, and I'm getting ready to read it in verse number 11. He did this, now listen to me, by reclassifying and re-identifying you with the death, burial, and resurrection. It says, in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then he declares right here, you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Over in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, let me read this to you. John chapter 14, verse number 19 says, a little while, this is Jesus talking, red letters, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. In today's world, I'm going to go, duh. The world can't see Jesus anywhere. They ain't even looking for Him. He said, in a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do you all see? He told His disciples what I'm preaching to you from Colossians way back here before He, while He was Jesus walking around on the earth. He says, the world ain't going to see me, but you're going to see me. Guys, we've been singing a song ever since I've been alive called In the Garden, a hymn. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I'm His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. Do you realize prayer is not some ritual or formula that you go through? Prayer is you communicating with God. I wish we would get off of this kick of having these big, huge, eloquent prayers. Our kind and gracious, most wonderful Heavenly Father. We get in this preacher voice. It's amazing how many people start talking Elizabethan English because they read a King James Bible when they get to praying like that. Thou hast called me from the foundation of the world. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to get you to understand. If you see that as prayer, you misunderstand. Prayer is when I wake up in the morning and I'm laying there and I just woke up. How you doing? Hope you got something for me today. I hope I can hear you today. I hope I'm going to be. I just begin to converse with Him. I can get up in the middle of the night and go to the restroom and realize, hey, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to get up and walk. The older you get, you're glad when you can get to the bathroom. And I thank Him for those lights that come on when you move so you don't run into stuff, okay? But prayer. Prayer is He's in you, you're in Him, the world don't see Him, don't make it some religious experience. Realize you are in the family of God. God loves you. When I was a little boy and I made a mess, my mom and dad would come and say, "Honey, that's okay. We can clean that up. It'll be all right." And I'd feel bad. If you understood that your Heavenly Father's the same way, when you make a mess of things, He doesn't come smacking and beating you like some parents do. He comes saying, "It's okay. I can help you with this. I can work with you. I can help you. I can get you through this thing." Now, again, when He said here in John, the world won't see you, but you're going to see that I'm in you, you're in me, I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. Jesus said that, and I'm in you, and you're in me. What He did was He changed your identity. When you got born again, your identity changed. Help me, Lord. You went from sinner to saint. Listen to me. When that father conceives with that mother and the mother conceives, the child in seed form is in that womb at that moment. That child will grow. That child will mature. When you accepted Christ, the first time you heard the word of God and God began to deal with your heart and say, you need to receive me, you conceived the word of God in your heart. And it started to grow. It may have been a while before the new birth took place. But He took you from saint, from sinner to saint, and He repositioned you so that you now are complete in Him. How many of you realize the baby inside the mother's womb, before it's born, is complete? It's a complete human being. Everything should be in place. 38 years ago when Travis was born prematurely, 38 years ago, the Lord began to explain to me how so many Christians in the body of Christ had been born again prematurely. Everything wasn't developed. His lungs was the last thing to develop. There were things that there. He spent 2.5 months in the hospital. He spent 2.5 months in ICU. We would go in, and he had a vent in him trying to help him breathe because they were trying to develop his lungs and get everything. He was just as much like me then as he is now. He's such a nice guy. But for 38 years, he's developing, he's maturing, he's becoming. But my point is, even at birth, he was complete. You are complete. Now follow me here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Say this with me. Say, "I'm alive. I'm not dead." Listen to me. You, He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Go down to verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together," and wait a minute. You mean in Colossians He said, "I was buried with Him in death by baptism, that when God raised Him, He raised me"? And now He's saying here in Ephesians, "He has seated me at the right hand of the Father with Jesus." Does that mean that I'm alive with Him as His body and that I'm connected to the head? The head is connected? Does your Bible say what's on that screen? and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love what he says right there in verse 4. Go back. See how that starts? Because he goes through all of this stuff. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You once walked according to the world, according to the lust of the flesh. He goes through all that thing. And then all of a sudden it says, he started verse 1, made you alive together, but then you walked this way and you were that way. And then it says, but God. Everybody say, but God. We became so intimately linked with Christ in salvation that when God raised him from the dead, he raised us from the dead. When God seated him at the right hand of the Father, he has seated us, and we came along beside of him too. See, I think the Lord just gave me a little bit of understanding of why it's hard for us to accept this message, because with it comes the responsibility that I can't just fail and falter and flop around like I want to. I might have to walk in the fullness of God. I might have to let God be in charge. See, most of our problems is not the devil. Most of our problems is you look in the mirror and you see only you. The devil has been defeated. I'm not saying he doesn't have power and he's not manipulative and he's not sneaky. I'm not saying he doesn't. He operates. He knows what to do. He knows where he can get in and he can't. But I'm going to tell you something. He can only work with your cooperation. You have authority over him. We have power over him. We have victory over him. Now watch this. Look at this. Ephesians 1 verse 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Then in chapter 2 verse 6 it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Can I tell you this? That is spiritual reality. That's not make-believe. Nowhere in this Bible passage that we're in does it say you have to go to heaven for this to happen. It's all in past tense. And it says, when he did it there, just like he forgave you of all your sins when he took Jesus to the cross, when he raised him from the dead, he raised you with him. When he took him to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he took you with him. What you and I've got to do is start believing it, encourage one another, and acting like it's a reality, not just some story. It's true, spiritually speaking. Now, what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago when we accepted him? We were seated with him. Now, guys, I realize this is a hard message because we look at one another and all we see is who we are in the flesh. We see our bodies. We feel our bodies. Y'all understand that? How many of you understand the aging process? I realize. But we've got to grow up spiritually. You know, how many of you understand what a teleconference call is? Y'all know what a teleconference is? We have had some teleconference things. Dave, what was the last one we had that was here where we had on the screen? We were meeting with churches all across the nation. What was that called? What was the last thing we did here? Yeah. I don't remember what it was called, but we had a teleconference where we came in here on a given day and we were meeting. We, by the way of the internet, hooked up with, work is worship. Was it more than 1,100 churches? How many churches was involved? Do you remember? Steve, do you remember how many churches? Over 1,000 churches. Churches in Chicago, churches in Dallas, churches in Los Angeles. And we came and we were sitting right here in a service. And up on the screen, when they came on, they were there. And all of us were teleconferenced together. We could text in questions. They could answer them. They could text in from Los Angeles, from Chicago, from Dallas, all across. We were all hooked up and teleconferenced together. The person in Dallas was just as much a part of that meeting as we were right here in Lewisburg, West Virginia. Is that right? How many of y'all understand how that works? Can you explain it? Huh? Can't explain it, can you? I don't know how that works. I know that, you know, it works. Let me tell you something. I can't explain how you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But I'm telling you, his body has access to him. And you can text him. Some of you ought to get a God button on your phone. A God app. You know, we're talking about the Rhema Christian Center app. I don't have my phone. I pull it out. I hit that button sometimes and go right there and I can see sermons. Okay? We got a giving app right there on that thing. Y'all know what a giving app is? Huh? You can go on that button, push a button, and it'll say give. And you put a credit card or a debit card or something in there. And let me just tell you something. You can teleconference money right into the church's bank account anywhere you are, anytime. You can do that. Well, how's it work? The moment you do it, God sees what you did up there, and he knows you did it. Hebrews tells you that when men receive tithes here, he receives them there. See, we're teleconferenced to him everywhere we go, everywhere we are, and we ought to start believing that that's a reality. How many of y'all understand? This isn't difficult. This is not a very deep message. It's about realizing Christ is in you. You are in Christ. And you are his child, and he wants to have a relationship, and he wants his body to grow up and mature. Every day I'm praying, Lord, I don't know how many years I have left here, but Lord, somebody has to get pregnant with the message that you want the next generation to hear, to become the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll preach it as long as I can. I'll do what I can. But Lord, somebody can reach another generation with that message. Pardon me just a moment. Jesus, God, your spirit lives in me. And you got me down here teaching people that they are alive because of what you did, Jesus. And I sometimes get so busy down there, I forget I'm seated up here. I sometimes get so much in my flesh that I'm not everything I could be. Lord, you didn't ask me to just express my faults But somehow today, I'm asking you to show this body how they can become everything you have made them to become. You're alive in us. You made us to be like you, Jesus. And your spirit lives in me today and them. So Jesus, you know, when you prayed that they, in John 17, for your disciples to become one with you, Lord, I'm praying that we, your body today, your church, will become one with you. I'm asking you to teleconference this, not just to their brain, but to their heart, and help us all to understand you are alive in us. It's not difficult. It's not hard to talk and then to sit and listen. Dear Lord, I realize that as your servant, that I have certain responsibilities to work in this body. Lord, there are others who are mature enough that we can start having things together with you, that we can look like you, act like you, live like you, walk like you, talk like you, that we are your body on this earth today. We're the body of Christ. We're your body, Christ. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us to start looking in the mirror and see that some of us are far more mature and more like you than we think we are. There's more of your word in some of us than we realize. And Lord, I'm asking you to help us to see you, not us. See you, not us. See you, not us. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand with me, please, just a moment? Don't leave. I want to tell you one more thing. Stand with us, if you would. As I was praying right then, I got to the end of that prayer, and I said that they may see you, not us. Some of the people who have been more spiritual than others weren't as mature, you know, and what I mean by that is they wanted you to see how spiritual they were. Y'all understand what I mean when I say that? They wanted you to see, look at me, I'm spiritual. When you all get to where I'm at, you'll be something in God like I am. Jesus didn't carry himself that way at all. He made of himself no reputation. He would not take things. Do you understand? He would say, whatever the Father does is what I try to do. He didn't say, look at me. He wasn't trying to get that. And I'm just praying. I'm just saying, God, I really want people to see Christ. Now listen to me. Say this. This is a message I taught 30, 35 years ago. When somebody comes to you and says, you really helped me, you encouraged me, don't look at them and say, well, to God be the glory. When they say that to you, say, thank you. And take it and receive it as encouragement. Pastor, I don't want to take God's glory. God wouldn't share his glory. Yeah, you got to know what to do with the glory when you get it. Because when you get back into a teleconference with him, you say, you know, you hear what somebody said. They said I did something to help them. And I just want you know and I know I didn't have enough sense to know how to help them. But you helped them through me and they thought it was me. So I'm just giving you, here's the glory. I give you the glory and the honor. That's how you give glory to God. You don't give God glory by looking at somebody else and say, well, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. You give him the glory when you get with him. Start teleconference with him. Start talking to him. Start encouraging him. And when somebody says, good job, say, thank you. You got something precious to give him at this moment. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to everybody? Let him see Christ in you. Amen. See, does anybody here see me in this envelope? Does anybody here see you in this envelope? Do you know you're in this envelope? Right there you are. But when you're in him, everybody can't see that he's inside you on the inside of this. But he is. And I'm thankful, aren't you? Father, I thank you for this reality today. May this word come alive inside of each of us today. We'll give you glory, honor, and praise in Christ's name. The altar's open. If you need prayer for anything, I'll pray with you. We have altar workers who will pray with you. The communion elements are here. If you decide you would like to come and receive communion, and listen to me, when you come and receive the body, the broken body of Jesus Christ, it's a greater awareness of him alive in you. We had communion the other night at a meeting, and I sat there, and it just was a very impactful thing for me at that particular moment to realize I needed Christ in me. And I recognize that we don't offer communion in every service. Maybe we should do it more, but it's here. I want you to always be aware of the fact that Christ is alive inside of you and that his blood was shed to wipe away your sins on the tree, and that his body was broken for you, and that when you commune with him in the communion elements, that there's a very powerful thing that takes place to remind you of who you are and what you have in Christ. Communion is a very powerful thing, and I just encourage you to participate in it. I love you. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. If you need prayer, I ask you to come forward right now, okay?